cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk some mixed martial arts, UFC Ultimate Fighter Nations finale, right here in the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. A special guest co-host in studio who was with me in Quebec City, Mike Bond from USA Today and MMA Junkie. You can follow Mike online at Mike Bond MMA. Bond is spelled B-O-H-N at Mike Bond MMA. Follow yours truly at Showdown Joe. We both of us were in Quebec City. Both of us flew back today. Both of us, we are not responsible for any words that come out of our mouth starting right now because we are absolutely on fumes. Am I wrong with that?
No, not at all.
Like it's we are absolutely fatigued, but not as fatigued as the two guys that will join us a little bit later on in the show. Chad Laprise, the first ever Canadian Ultimate Fighter, will join us momentarily. We'll also hear from the best hair in mixed martial arts. Now that Kenny Florian is retarded or retired. Oh, if Kenny hears that, I'm going to be. See what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? The guys behind the glass are laughing right now. Oh, Kenny's going to get me for that. Elias Theodoro, the first ever middleweight Canadian Ultimate Fighter winner. He will join us as well. And as always, we are not responsible for anything that Elias says. How sweet was it when Elias was, when he emerged victorious? Dana's trying to say, you are the Ultimate Fighter winner, and he doesn't even care. He just hugs Dana White.
That was amazing. A great moment by him. He's such a likable guy, and I think that was a moment for me where it kind of just took it to the next level.
He's so out of control. He's so amazing. He's just such a character, and we'll get some more information out of Elias later on. Hopefully he didn't celebrate too much, but we just don't know with Elias. I'm pretty sure Chad didn't celebrate too much. He's not much of a partier, but we'll see. I'm sure he probably got he got some enjoyment in for sure. We'll also talk about the rest of the card, the main event there that got a fair amount of boos between Michael Bisping and Tim Kennedy. The two coaches competed, Patrick Cote from Team Canada against Kyle Noak. Patrick looked absolutely phenomenal, in my opinion. We'll talk about the Fox show that will air on Sportsnet 360 with a pivotal bout in the main event. The winner takes on Cain Velasquez. It'll be Travis Brown versus Fabricio Doom. Mike and I will break that down a little bit later on as well. Before we get to Chad, anything that stood out to you on this? There's a lot of things that stood out to me, to be honest with you, but anything that stood out for you?
Just from the card in general?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not? Dustin Poirier, man. I think that guy's, every time he goes out there, he's proven himself to be, I think, one of the pound-for-pound most exciting fighters in the UFC. He just brings it every time. He's getting those bonuses, finishes, and that guy's just super impressive.
He's an absolute monster. I saw him after the fight backstage, and then I saw him today at the airport. And backstage, he just walked right up to me, and he gave me that, "So, what did you think?" I'm like, "What do you mean, what did I think?" Like, that was an absolutely insane fight versus Akira Korzana. You're nuts. You're absolutely nuts. And he kind of, I know, I shouldn't have did this. I'm like, dude, you won. You're fine. And then I saw him this morning, and he looked at me with a big smile, and I'm like, you are still insane. And I haven't changed overnight. You're nuts. He's just such an amazing fighter.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. He fights the same way every single time. It doesn't matter who he's in there against, and he just brings it, like I said, every time.
Do you want to explain the somber silence in the media room when Sam Stout got knocked out by KJ Nunes, how everybody was just sort of in awe?
Man, that was stunning. I mean, I don't think anyone saw that coming. You look at kind of those two guys' records. Sam Stout's fought, I think, tied with Diego Sanchez for going to the most decisions of any fighter in UFC history. KJ Nunes has been to his decision, has lost like 8 fights. So you probably think if you're betting any fight on the card to go the distance, that would have been a good choice. And boom, over in 30 seconds.
Robin Black was freaking out in the room there because he was the one that noticed that what KJ Nunes did as he dropped. He said Sam bit on the drop and then whammo, hits him with the overhand right. So kudos to Robin Black for noticing that. We saw it on the replay that something did not seem right there as Sam was sort of caught in that moment where, you know, is when GSP fought Matt Serra. He was caught in the wrong zone and then Serra came over with the right. It was a little different than with KJ Nunes, but it was the same sort of thing in terms of the end result pretty much.
Yeah, it's incredible how just that's all it takes is one punch like that. I mean, Sam Stout had never been knocked out in his entire career, and then boom, that's all that happens. But if you fight that many times, I think that was his like 18th fight in the UFC, you go knocked on that many times, and it's bound to happen.
I'm trying to figure out what I was more impressed with, the fact that Olivier Aubin-Mercier's striking has come a long way, or the fact that Chad Laprise's takedown defense, A, and B, how he gets off his butt right back to where he needs to be, the center of the cage. I'm trying to figure out what was more impressive. We have Chad Laprise actually on the line right now. Chad, what's going on?
Not too much, Joe. You?
Good. How you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. I'm super happy, obviously, from the win. I'm a little sore, but I'm enjoying life for sure.
Oh, you're enjoying life. Like, let's be honest for a second. The first, you made history, man. The first ever winner of the Ultimate Fighter from Canada. Has it set in yet?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, I kind of already have the wheels turning, and I'm kind of itching to fight already.
Listen, I'm going to call Hominick. I'm going to call everybody at that gym and put a ban on you. Stay away.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to train for about a week, but then it's back to business.
I know you don't want me to talk to your wife, but if I got to call her, I'm telling her, listen, you keep him away from the gym. You got to okay, a week is good. You need to, you know, I mean, everyone knows a week after a fight, the electrical system in the body does have to recharge itself. Everything's going to be fine. But what about, if you think about what you went through, you were at 170 pounds for this fight here. You want to cut down to 155 pounds. Are you going to change the diet right away, or is that just going to be a natural weight cut as you move forward?
Yeah, I'll just kind of, well, obviously, for me to make 170, I still have to diet and stuff, right? So I'm going to have a few weeks here of kind of eating whatever I want, and then it's back to business.
What is whatever you want?
Oh, well, right now, for dinner, I'm eating chips with Pepsi, some chicken wings, and a piece of cake.
What kind of wings? What kind of wings? They better be hot, man. That a boy.
So, yeah, it's been pretty good. The whole way home today with Jesse Ronson, we were kind of stopping at every little place in the airports and just indulging a bit. It's
animals. Absolute animals from London. We're very, very proud of you. We got Mike Bond here from MMA Junkie and USA Today joining us as well. He'll probably step in with a question momentarily. But you get back home. What was it like? I'm sure you saw a whole bunch of people. I'm sure your phone must have been ringing off the hook. What's the day like been for you?
Yeah, it's been actually kind of low-key for me because I had to leave at 4 a.m. from Quebec City. So I flew at 6:30, so I've been kind of spending a lot of days sleeping. But I've definitely been getting lots of support, and I'm just relaxing a little bit right now. So it's been good.
Yeah. So Chad, you you win the fight, you get the trophy, then you go to the press conference, and Dana White announces that you get the two fight bonuses from the seasons, $25,000 each. What's your reaction when kind of he announces that news? And were you aware that you were going to get those before he announced it?
Yeah, they had just told me before I went up there. So, you know, I'm so, so blessed to have that opportunity. You know, that's honestly life changing for me. So, words can't describe how much that 50K will help me out.
Oh, for sure. It's a life changer because it can help you. You know, it's an obvious financial windfall, but I'm going to give you a piece of advice, Chad. You've known me for a while. Just buy her a pair of boots or a nice new jacket. Make her happy as well.
Yeah, for sure. Keeping the wife happy is definitely number one in my books.
All right, so you want to get back training within a week here. When do you want to fight again? Because you know Vancouver's coming up. We got Toronto coming up. I mean, do you want to fight again in Canada, or do you want to take your skills south of the border, outside of North America?
Yeah, definitely fighting in Canada would be awesome. You know, I love fighting for the Canadian fans. Fighting in Toronto would be amazing. I don't want to really wait till September, but who knows? Who knows? Whenever the UFC will give me the okay, I'll fight.
So tell us the experience of what it was like for you fighting realistically speaking, the very first time for the UFC, because being on the show was one thing, but fighting for the big show, you know, it's at the Octagon, the heat of the lights, you know, in a big arena. What was that experience like in comparison to as you built your career on the grassroots level?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely different, but me cornering Stout and Hominick before, that was a huge advantage. You know, I knew going into fight week, I knew going into the fight, every last little detail of what I was going to have to do. So when I went in there, you know, I was fully prepared and I wasn't nervous one bit. I didn't have any jitters, you know, and I was just focused on trying to win that fight.
What was going through your mind when you were walking to the Octagon? Because I remember, you know, Olivia getting, you know, he got a huge, huge ovation. Obviously, a Quebec resident, the Quebec City kid or the Quebec kid, you know, he's going to be beloved out there. Absolutely. You had this look in your eye, and I tweeted about it right away. I said, look, if you guys can rewind that, take a look into Chad's eyes, and you'll see an intense amount of focus. What was going through your mind as when Bert finally said, you guys got to walk to the cage, and you made your way to the cage?
Yeah. Honestly, it was just like my time has finally come. You know, I've definitely waited a long time to be there, and I truly believe that I was supposed to be there. You know, so on that walkout, those boos didn't mean a thing to me. You know, going in there, it didn't matter if there was 5,000 people or if there was 100,000 people booing me. It really didn't matter to me. I was on a one-track mind, and I was going to win that fight.
And you've mentioned going back down to 155 after this, but seeing how you performed on the season in the finale, is there any part of you that maybe is considering staying at 170, or do you think maybe some of the top guys in that division are maybe a little too big for you?
Yeah, you know, I've actually fought more at 170 than I have at 155, but some guys are just monsters, right? Like, if they offer me fights with guys like KJ Nunes, like guys that aren't monsters at 170, I'll take it. But my true weight class is at 155.
So you mentioned KJ Nunes there. Is that maybe a fight that you'd kind of like to have in the future?
He just knocked out my boy. He's a super nice guy too, you know, and he's a striker. I'm a striker. I'm not sure that the UFC will probably match me up with somebody from like a tough show or whatever from a next fight. But then after that, maybe you'll get KJ Nunes down the line.
I heard a rumor that you wanted to fight the tough China winner. Is there any truth to that?
For sure. We can do tough Canada versus tough China. That works for me.
Look at this guy, matchmaking. He's an ultimate fighter. Listen, you know the drill. I don't like when guys are asked certain questions. Oh, whatever Dana White tells me to do, blah, blah. This is your moment. And I like when guys are starting. Yeah. Look at Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen is a walking genius. The guy's fighting Wanderlei Silva in a couple of months. He's already calling out Rich Franklin. When he was fighting Anderson Silva, he was calling out Belfort. When he's fighting John Jones, he was calling out Machida, Nogueira. That's how you do it, man. And that's where the money comes in. You know what I'm saying? Some people are, they say that they're humble. They let their fighting do the speaking in the ring. This is the fight business.
Yep.
What you're doing, Chad, I think is absolutely it's perfect. Now, if I could offer a piece of advice, I'd much rather see you at 155 because you have the speed of a lightweight and the power of a welterweight.
For sure, you know, definitely 155 is for sure my weight class. It's tough getting down there; it's a pain in the butt, but I've done it and I will do it again.
What's what did the boys say? The coaches, you know, Mark Hominick and stuff. Oh, by the way, I met your mother at the event.
Oh yeah.
Oh, she's really? A character. She's absolutely awesome.
My mom is definitely a super fan. You know, she's fan number one, and she gets a little crazy, but she's definitely there to support me.
She made me nervous because I didn't know she was a Showdown Joe fan, but she was, and I was like, hey, wait a second. And she's like, yes, I'm Chad's mom. I'm like, this is so cool. This is so awesome. What a wonderful lady. Now I see where your character comes from. Good for you, man.
Yeah, she's a huge MMA fan, so I'm sure that she watches your show quite a bit.
All right, so let's talk about 155. There's a lot of room to grow in the division. There's a lot of, I mean, you look at the 170-pound and 155-pound division, it is stacked. I mean, that's where the average human being basically sits at to cut weight. I mean, there's a long road for you to get anywhere near a title shot, but at the same time, what are you looking at? Are you looking for a fast track? I think it was Mike that asked the question regarding, look at Kelvin Gastelum and how fast he's moving up there. Does it matter if you get moved up right away, or is it just, you know what, you take the fight, whatever they give you, let's do this, just get me a title shot whenever I'm ready?
Yeah, you know, obviously, like, there's so many guys in line for that title shot, so I'm sure that the UFC will want to build me up. And the more fights I can get in the UFC, the better. You know, it's always been my dream to get there, and now I'm finally here. So I definitely don't want to sit on the sidelines and fight once or twice a year. You know, I want to fight as much as possible.
You're listening to UFC Central Radio right now. On the line with Mike Bond and I is the first ever winner of the Ultimate Fighter from Canada, Chad Laprise. You can follow Chad online at Chad Laprise. Follow Mike at Mike Bond MMA. Follow yours truly at Showdown Joe. I mean, there's a whack of questions I want to get to, but the one thing I want to talk about is the preparation for Olivier Aubin-Mercier, who, by the way, I think looked absolutely fantastic in that fight. You just had his number. The matchup was yours. Although you did say he isn't a good matchup for you, you did what you had to do. And this and the takedown defense was fantastic. And it's not just takedown defense. People forget about this. Takedown defense is one thing. You're still going to get taken down. How do you get back up? And you did a fantastic job doing that. Can you walk us through how you prep for that?
Yeah, for that fight, obviously, I knew he's got a really, really great judo base. You know, he's competed for the national team. Even went to like judo school. So like half the day you go to regular school, and then the other half day was judo school. He's a fantastic wrestler. And once he gets you down, he's just like, he's crippling on top, right? And he has a great rear naked choke. He's got great back control. So I hired a judo coach for this fight, Calvin Proctor, who came in. He's also a great wrestler. And his son came in who helped me out too, who won the CISs at 163. And I wrestled every single day, and day in and day out. Andrew Elliott back home, who's my wrestling coach, helped me out a lot. I worked with the guys down at Team Curran MMA down there, and we worked like positions. And then also I knew that I would probably be able to stop a lot of them, but I knew eventually that he would take me down. And once he got me down, it was scramble, 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 and get back up, and never let him like get a good top position on me and start pounding away.
One of the old school things that Randy Couture once taught me in the octagon was the importance of knowing where that black line is in the octagon. And if you're a striker, if your feet are on that black line, you better move. And I noticed you were doing that. Was that something conscious as well when you knew, even though it was in the third round and you know the fight could have been potentially close, when you were close to that black line, did you know you need to get out of Dodge?
100%. You know, that's when he takes people down. You know, his takedowns in the open are all right, but he's the best off the fence. So I knew if he could ever corner me against the fence, that he would shoot for sure. So I could feel any time I got anywhere near that black line, anywhere near the fence, it was time to angle out and reset up in the middle again.
Did you get a chance to speak with Olivier?
Yeah. I talked to him right after the fight, and then I talked to him later on at night. I went out and got some food, and I saw him later on, and we just said, man, I'm glad it's over. I don't have to fight T-Man anymore, and thanks. You know, it was a great fight on him, and same thing. We shook hands, and it's in the past now.
So the fact that you're a rich man right now, we're going to let you go because I want you to go enjoy your time with the family and stuff like that. But you're a rich man. Mike and I are looking for some wings. If we come to London, you can hook us up or what?
For sure. You guys can come on down. I'd love to go for some wings with you.
Listen, brother, thank you very much for your time. I look forward to talking to you soon. And, of course, now that you are the official first ever Ultimate Fighter from Canada, you know sports, that's going to send me your way. So make sure the house is clean and don't leave me alone with the wife because I'll make sure you don't train 15 times a day.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate everything, man.
There you have it. Chad Laprise. Follow him online at Chad Laprise on Twitter. Absolutely a great gentleman. One of the best sense of humor. And, you know, I joke around all the stuff about his mom and his wife. He's surrounded by amazing people, and that's why he stays so grounded.
Yeah, and that's what you need to be a great fighter. You have to, it's all about the surroundings.
Did you hear about what it's like sparring with Chad?
No.
Yeah, you don't want to spar with Chad.
No. I don't want to spar with any UFC fighter.
No. Sparring with UFC guys is really nothing because generally they'll take care of you. But there's some guys, Donald Cerrone is one of them, don't waste their 5 minutes. You do not waste their 5 minutes. And Chad is one of those, Olivier is one of those guys as well. Don't waste their 5 minutes. They'll play around, blah, blah, blah. But apparently when you spar with Chad, you better bring your A game. If you're not bringing your A game, step off and let someone else come in because Chad is no joke. Chad is there to be the best in the world, and this guy is absolutely ruthless when it comes to sparring. He doesn't hurt people like per se, but he's going to go 80%. You know, the guy's an absolute monster. I want to keep talking, though, about Olivier. Olivier's striking on the show, it seemed to me, was you know, without being disparaging, was, let's say, rudimentary, okay? The striking I saw yesterday was fantastic. He's not like Anderson Silva or Chad, but he's getting there. And that's what a kid that young to be able to strike that way. His punches are being extended. His hooks were a little sort of, they're not there yet, but his high kick was fantastic. His kicks were amazing. He's still young. This guy's going to be a monster as his career continues to unfold.
Well, yeah, that's the thing I always say about the Ultimate Fighter. Like, I believe that season finish filming roughly 16 weeks ago now, and Olivier is such a young guy. I think he's 24, so the time that, or like the amount those guys can improve in that 16 week period, especially after going through something like the Ultimate Fighter where they learn so much about like dedication, training, all that kind of stuff, the amount they improve is unbelievable. That's why I always have such a hard time predicting Ultimate Fighter finales, because it's like, where are these guys, how much have they improved since then, because they're mostly also young.
And most people don't know predicting fights in general isn't easy because you don't really know how injured each guy is, number one. That's what people say, hey, show it on, make a prediction. Who do you think's going to win? I don't know who's going to win. It's a fight, man. I can break it down for you and say this is what statistics show should happen, but paper doesn't fight paper. And above all, the one thing I learned from George all the time is it's not the best fighter that always wins. It's the best fighter that day or that night. Huge difference.
Yeah, no, it's almost impossible to predict these fights. I mean, even going back to the Sam Soat and KJ Nunes thing we were talking about earlier, I mean, it's so unpredictable, and that's, I mean, why so many people love the sport, why both of us love the sport, because it's not easy to predict, and it's always something crazy going down.
I get people saying, oh, this is a lock, that's a lock. Look, you look at some of the odds for mixed martial arts bouts, yes, the favorites are generally going to win, and you look for value and stuff like that. But it is fighting. You just never know what's going to happen. It doesn't always happen, but you know, I've seen it firsthand. I've got personal friends that have competed in the Ultimate Fighting Championship over the years. I knew the day they got to the arena, my boy's going to lose. My boy's going to lose because something happened, whether it could have been a call from the wife, could have been a bad night at the hotel, could have been a girlfriend, could have been a kid, could have been some corner guy that's an absolute idiot, I'll just say, something got into their head that day and it's over. It's just don't even bother showing up. They were a heavy favorite, for example, and they end up losing. That's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, there's a million different things that can happen. I mean, even look at the Dustin Poirier fight. He was a 10-1 favorite or so in that fight, and he got dropped in that first round. And I think if Akira had maybe been a little more aware and followed up, he maybe could have won that fight. But, you know, like, it's just, that's all it takes in the sport is one punch, one turning point.
Are you convinced, like he said that he wants to fight Cub Swanson, he wants that rematch, but he said that he thinks Cub Swanson versus Jeremy Stephens are the next in line for the title. I'm not buying that.
No, I mean, I was surprised when he said that. I would like to see that fight. I mean, Dustin against so many guys in that division is just wide open. But yeah, I found that odd when he mentioned that, and Dana didn't really say anything afterwards. So
yeah, I was like,
yeah, it was a bit confusing.
Ever heard of a guy named Chad Mendes?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the guy that deserves a title shot. He already had it. Yeah, he lost it in Brazil and blah, blah. And, you know, they can live off the holding the cage part where, you know, he had Jose Aldo going down on the ground and then gets a knee in the face, whatever. Chad deserves that title shot, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. He's done a lot since that last loss to Aldo. He's won, I think, 5 or 6 in a row, so he definitely deserves it.
Well, you saw when I broke the news about Demetrius Johnson and Ali Bagatinov main eventing in Vancouver.
Yep.
That wasn't my original prediction or story.
Yeah, you thought it was going to be Aldo and
Aldo Mendes. I really thought Aldo Mendes was going to be in Vancouver. That fight was never, I was told it's still not there for the UFC. It's an option, obviously, for Jose Aldo. But then when you do the math, Demetrius Johnson is from Seattle. You know, you're looking, you want to make sure you fill up that house. You put Rory McDonald on there. You put Demetrius Johnson on there. He brings his crew. Everyone comes and supports Rory. All the Canadians on there. You sell it out. But pay-per-view-wise, it's going to be a little different.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a tough sell for the UFC with obviously being the first flyweight championship fight in a pay-per-view main event, and then obviously having Bagatinov, who doesn't speak English, and Demetrius Johnson isn't really the type to talk trash or anything like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go about promoting that event.
But Bagatinov, though, is awesome on the mic. Like, he told Arnold, he said he took, what is it? He took one fight the full distance because he knew Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the crowd. And he said, listen, I've watched every Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and those things are like 2 hours long. Now Arnold can watch me. That's why I went 50 minutes in the octagon.
Dude, those guys are very interesting. Like,
they're hilarious.
Even Khabib Nurmagomedov. If you follow him on social media, some of the stuff he puts out there is friggin' hilarious.
Well, speaking of friggin' hilarious, we're going to have Elias Theodora coming up after the break. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and the Ultimate Fighter Nations right here on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. My co-host this week is Mike Bond from USA Today and MMA Junkie. You can follow him online at Mike Bond MMA. Follow yours truly at Showdown Joe. Behind the glass, Brett Armstrong, who is ripping my ears apart. If I don't get in line, get behind the microphone, because he's got certain times to make. And I don't want to mess with Brett. He's got his Ninja Turtle shirt on. He's got flexing. I don't want to mess around. And my producer for the show, Mark Boffel, as Brett and I were discussing off air, it's all about him, Mike. I mean, we can only go when he's ready.
These guys run the show back here.
I have no say. Like, they tell me where to sit, what to do. They tell me what temperature to have the room at, how much lights I can have on. I can't win.
It's the way it goes.
Unfair. These are harsh conditions. Hashtag showdown problems. Hashtag first world problems. All right. We're about to be joined with Elias Theodoro. Now, as you know, history has shown I get nervous when Elias comes on the air. I did a whole show with him. Did you hear about that? The 1 hour show?
I don't think I caught that one.
He was, you know what? He was fantastic. First things first, let's be honest. I joke with Elias all the time. The kid is money. I should say kid. He's a big boy now. He's money. He's absolutely hilarious, but you just never know. It's Elias.
Yeah, no, he's a good time. I was actually seated next to him on the flight out to Quebec City. So I didn't really know him that well before, but we got to talk for about an hour and a half there, so it was good, and he's quite the character, as you said.
First things first, hello, Mom. Second thing, Dana White's trying to make a speech, and the priority for Elias is to hug Dana White. Who does that?
Very few people.
Let's bring on Elias Theodora. Elias.
Hey there, gentlemen.
What are you doing?
Just enjoying and kind of just still pinching myself, to be completely honest.
It's all about Elias, isn't it? Let's be honest.
No. Well, maybe today.
In all serious, though, congratulations. The first ever middleweight winner of The Ultimate Fighter from Canada. A stellar performance over Sheldon Westcott, who many people were wondering if he was going to explode right through you and hurt you and end you. And you put on, you weathered the storm and you emerged victorious in unbelievable fashion. Have you had a chance to watch the fight?
Yeah, I have. And it's a surreal moment, especially because of how well my performance was, how happy I am with it. Of course, my coaches are very ecstatic too, and we said we're going to enjoy it for the next week or so until they pick it apart and tell me what I did wrong.
Yeah, and you took some criticism on the show for like some of your performances in the fights. People were saying they weren't the most exciting, but that was one of the most exciting fights on the card last night. How good did it feel to kind of come through with that kind of performance?
Oh, it's amazing. And it's true. I did get a little flack because of the fights I did have in the show, but I'm a UFC fighter and with a stamp on it.
Yeah, totally. And kind of going back to what Showdown said there about weathering the early storm, could you kind of feel the turning point in that fight when you began to take over and kind of Sheldon started to tire a bit there?
Yeah, with him, it's kind of the case where that was the game plan. We knew the first 2 minutes are going to be hell with Sheldon. He comes running at you. He just tries to hit you, pick you up, slam you, and choke you. That's what he does. And a fist would stop that. So the whole plan was basically I worked heavily on my footwork and my head movement and just being able to punch. Like I think a lot of people didn't really expect what I was capable of, and I'm glad I showed them.
What did your mom say afterwards? I gotta know.
Just hugs and kisses, hugs and kisses. She was in the stands, and when I walked by to get my seat to watch the final fight, I saw her. There's a great picture of us embracing each other, and she was excited.
For those that don't know, Elias's parents are the greatest ever.
I know, they're so cute. They're cute.
Until your brother walks in. Your brother walked in. For those that know, I was lucky enough to spend some quality time with Elias and the family the day before the fight, after the weigh-ins. It was a wonderful experience. I tried to keep my distance, but, you know, I'm not Elias, and it was just a wonderful experience. But then your brother walked in. Like, who steals the show like that?
I know. He just has an energy about him, man. It helps when you're 6'4 and 240 pounds of pure muscle. But and a beautiful smile. But no, he's a great cat, and he's my best friend, man.
What was it like when you said goodbye to them and you realized I'm not going to see them likely until after the fight? It's for those that don't know, it can be a very tense, emotional, but sometimes surreal and wanted experience, because you go from emotions to warrior in almost a snap of a finger.
No, that's exactly it. I like to kind of keep my distance away because, like you said, emotion. Emotion is the worst thing you can have in regards to a fight. Because emotions, anger, whatever it is a finite resource. You need to have a gas tank, and any kind of emotion can kind of hinder your performance. So it was a surreal thing, but I've done it many of times now, and I just knew the feeling that it is right now. And that's after you succeed in a fight, after you win a fight, and there's just the joyous moments I get to have with them afterwards. So now I get to actually spend some quality time with my fam.
So what are you doing with the Ultimate Fighter trophy there that you got?
I'm juggling with it, actually. And
No,
I'm a horrible juggler. I can do many things, but juggling is not one of them. I'm keeping it far away from me. I'm very accident prone, so I don't want to chip anything, break anything. So it's locked up, safe, and out of my hands.
Have you had a chance to speak with Dana?
Yeah, he was very pleased with my showing last night, and he just basically said welcome to the team, and it was the coolest thing ever. And that's why, like, when I first saw him in the cage, there was a lot of emotions running through, but as soon as I got there and as soon as I saw him there in the cage, and I knew how, you could tell, like, he was very happy with my performance. I was just ecstatic. I just wanted to hug the man. He's the first boss that I've ever liked.
Yeah, and I was sitting right there in front of you at the press conference when he was, like, praising you in front of everyone. What was that? And you were just, like, looking up there, and you just kind of looked like you were in awe. What was that feeling like, having the UFC president kind of just talking you up so much in front of everyone.
No, that was the best way to describe it. It's surreal and awe. It was just the whole moment. I'm still pinching myself. It's what I've been dreaming to do, and I'm doing it.
Mark my words, ladies and gentlemen. We're on the line right now with Elias Theodoro. You can follow him online via Twitter, at Elias Theodoro MMA. Am I correct?
No, just at Elias Theodoro.
That's right, Elias Theodoro. Unfortunately, your Instagram is Elias, or at Elias UFC. So whenever I tweet some stuff about pictures of you and I, whatever, blah, blah, and it goes over to my Twitter, people start ripping me because it says at Elias UFC. We got to fix that.
Dang it. Yeah.
I got to talk to Alex. I got to talk to Robin. We got to fix that. We got to brand you correctly because what I was getting at was, mark my words, ladies and gentlemen, this Elias that you're seeing right now isn't going to change, but it's going to get better because when he realizes who he is, and as the fights continue, you're going to see a businessman. Mark my words. I'm going to see the Elias businessman coming out soon because what you showed, even after you emerged, when the referee stopped the fight, you got up and you were cognizant of the fact that, hey, 10-0, that puts another bullseye on your back.
Yeah, but in the best kind of way. I jumped in with thank you, by the way, for with all your confidence in me. That means a lot, man. It's a lot of hard work to get where I am, but after the next week or two, I get to kind of just be lazy and hang out. There's going to be a lot more work to go. And part of that is going to be that business aspect. But honestly, like with that whole being present in the moment, I am actually present in the moment in the cage now, which is the coolest thing ever.
Well, the thing is, though, like it's funny that you understand that, but you won't realize it till 3 or 4 fights in, because that's when most mixed martial artists that make it to the UFC really get comfortable. Look at Lyoto Machida. Look at Whiteman. Look at all these guys. George St. Pierre. It's usually 3rd or 4th fight in when you really get comfortable. The fact that you realize where you are is amazing. You're already steps ahead of the game. But mark my words, Elias, 3rd or 4th fight in, from my experience with dealing with these guys, you're going to be a completely different monster. You're badass as it is right now. It's going to be a completely different beast. But at the same time, fights are going to get harder. When you look up and down this division, do you start taking notes on some of these guys as they're competing and realize, I got to fight that guy one day, I got to fight that guy one day?
Yeah. And then that's the crazy and the cool and the exciting thing. This is where I am. I'm in the UFC and I've been a professional fighter for quite some time now, but now I'm in there amongst the best. It's pretty cool it's exciting for me. It's not a daunting task, although sometimes the training sessions will feel that way, but I'm excited.
We spoke with Chad Laprise a little earlier on and he made it clear, we asked him, but he made it clear he's having chips, hot wings, what do you say, Pepsi?
Yep,
Pepsi. Yeah, so he's destroying his diet. What are you doing?
I'm enjoying. I ate a ridiculous crepe full of Nutella and banana at Cora today, and that was it. That was just on the side. I also enjoyed. I also had the actual breakfast as well, and a lot of steak. Anything and everything, really. There's been plenty of junk food in between.
When are we hitting the Danforth?
Yeah, let's go dance, man. I'm down.
No, I'm talking about food. I never say, I don't dance. You know me. I don't dance. I want to have some nice food.
Okay, we could do that too, man. I'm back in Toronto on Sunday. Let's do something this week.
I don't think Sportsnet wants you and I in this. They don't want us in Vegas together, let alone the Danforth close to home.
Heck. We'll just throw a camera and say it's a segment of some sort and do some antics.
All right. So let's talk about upcoming. There's Vancouver. Of course, there's Toronto. There's Montreal. There's Halifax. And of course, there's international shows. Do you have a preference as to, A, when you want to get back into the cage and, start a training camp? Do you want to fight again in Canada to continue to build the brand? Does it matter? Do you want to go down to Vegas or other cities?
Well, I want to eventually fight everywhere, but the one on my mind is obviously Toronto. I want to fight in the 416, man. That's where I'm from. I brought 100 people down, 100 Greeks from Toronto down to Quebec City. Imagine what I can bring back in the hometown.
All done. All right. So listen, Mike was going to ask a question, but he's wrapping it up here with me. So listen, I was going to follow up with that, but we already talked about the Danforth. So we'll figure something out. I look forward to when you get back. Hit me up and we'll figure some stuff out because I know Sportsnet's going to want to send me out to see Chad in London and you're not that far of a drive to Mississauga. So we got to get together. We'll do some features. We'll do all kinds of stuff and continued success, my friend.
I'm totally down, my brother, man. I'm excited.
There you have it. Elias Theodoro. He is the first ever middleweight Canadian Ultimate Fighter winner and a character to say the least. I mean, this guy gets it, man. I'm telling you right now, he gets it.
I agree. I can't wait to see your next fight.
Now, the another guy who gets it was his opponent, Sheldon Westcott. I'm going to be careful how I word this, because Sheldon, in my opinion, did not show what he's capable of in that fight. Sheldon Westcott, a former decathlete, is a true athlete. This guy's an animal. Something happened in that cage. Something happened for him not to perform. And Elias just, whether, you know, we can make the case that Elias broke him, we can make the case that, you know, maybe, you know, Sheldon's legs were hurting after he was on top of Elias for so long with the back control. Something happened there. Mark my words, Sheldon Westcott will be back in the octagon just like Olivier Aubin-Mercier, and these two guys are going to be absolute studs. The one thing I know about Sheldon, and I don't want to take this to a point where people are like, oh, now you're being crazy. Well, you know, I said that, you know, George St. Pierre and Anderson Silva were never going to fight. They said I was crazy. I said George St. Pierre's next opponent will be Nick Diaz. They said I was nuts. You know, I said John Jones one day will move to heavyweight. Oh, you're absolutely nuts. I'm telling you right now, Sheldon Westcott could be the face of Canadian MMA. So can Elias Theodoro, because I'll tell you one thing. When I posted pictures, don't think this is cheesy, Mr. Mike Bond, at Mike Bond MMA, by the way, USA Today MMA Junkie. The pictures that I was posting of Sheldon Westcott resonated with the same audience that follows George St. Pierre.
Yeah.
A lot of women were hitting me back saying, hey, who's that guy? Who's the guy in the middle? Who's the guy in the suit? Women from all over the world that follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, love Sheldon Westcott.
Yeah, he has the look. And I mean, I agree with you. It was kind of strange. I mean, he opened really strong as he always does, but then it seemed like he ran out of gas really, really quick, even in that first round. And I don't know what happened. Maybe injury, could have been adrenaline dump, could have been a number of things. But
I think it could have been any one of those.
Yeah, I mean, or a combination of everything. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. Like, it's such a big moment for these guys. Look at Dennis Bermudez. He did not have a good showing in his Ultimate Fighter finale. He comes and he's won six fights
monster.
In a row.
Monster.
So you never know.
I think so. I mean, there's certain things that I've seen over the years, and this resonating that Sheldon had with so many different people was like sort of was like And when I saw him at the media workouts, that mall that we were at there, well, I forgot what the name of the mall is. No disrespect to the mall, but I don't remember what it was. I saw something there that I was like, wait a second. Wait, this kid he's good. Because we didn't see it on the Ultimate Fighter. I've seen Sheldon's fight in the past and some of the stuff, but he wins fights very, very quickly. You don't really get to see things. I saw some crisp striking. I saw some very explosive motions, a lot of fast twitch muscle fiber techniques that GSP used to do when he was younger. I said to myself, interesting here. Elias is going to have to get a hold of him to really break this guy. I went into the fight thinking to myself, it's a gimme. It's could be, or not a gimme, a pick 'em. Then I saw Sheldon and I'm like, this could get interesting for Elias. This could get ugly for Elias. And then I said, you know what? What I'm seeing is not translating properly. I'm going to sit back and let the boys just fight. Let it happen and then make some assessments afterwards. And we saw what happened with Sheldon. Like you said, you know, adrenaline dump, it could be anything. But mark my words, Mike, I think this kid's going to have a very bright future. And Olivier, you tell me what it was like in that arena when Olivier was walking to the cage.
It was nuts. I mean, him and Patrick Cote got the two biggest pops of the night. And I mean, even Olivier after the fight, like, he was obviously disappointed when he came and talked to the media, but he seemed like he was really like in high spirits and knows that he has a big future. So, and I think he had a lot of pressure on him, Olivier, going into that fight, people calling him the next GSP and all that kind of stuff. So he had a lot of expectations, and now with the loss, he's not going to have so much of that, and he can kind of just focus on getting better and winning his next fight.
Yeah, I talked to him and his crew afterwards, and I was texting him earlier today, but I talked to his crew afterwards because obviously they're dejected. You know, you go in there thinking you're going to be the Ultimate Fighter. Only one guy can be the Ultimate Fighter in that fight. But I talked to his crew and I made it clear. I'm like, guys, don't worry about it. He's young. It's not like he's 35 and just lost the biggest fight of his career. He's 24, 23, whatever he is. It's fine. And in the messages that I sent to both guys, you know, I'm not going to talk about the personal stuff, but I told both guys, Sheldon and Olivier, I'm proud of you guys. You guys did very well. You represented Canada the way you're supposed to represent Canada. You know, we're known as good people. You've seen how we get mocked by the American media. Oh, you Canadians are so nice, blah, blah. That's who we are. That's how we are. But I told them both specifically, I said, I don't know exactly what emotional state you're in right now, and I'm sure it's not very well. It's not very good. You're probably dejected. You're upset with yourself. But at UFC 69, George St. Pierre lost the welterweight championship of the world. He learned his lesson, and we all saw what happened from there. This is when you guys have to learn your lesson and get better from here. And, you know, I won't say what they both said to me afterwards, but they were very happy to receive something like that, because I've seen so many good fighters, Mike, go down and not come back. And I'm like, I use George's example. UFC 69, man. No one saw that coming, especially George.
Yeah, I mean, and kind of goes back to our earlier point about how much these guys can improve between fights. I mean, Olivier, who knows when his next fight is going to be, but if it's like 6, 7, 8 months from now, maybe on the Montreal card or something, he, I'm sure, is going to be an entirely different fighter. His striking is going to be that much better, and this is only going to help him going forward, being such a young guy. And I'm sure if you ask him a few years from now, he's probably going to, if he strings together a bunch of victories, he's going to say, I'm happy I suffered this defeat now instead of, or back then instead of now.
It was on this very station, the week after George St. Pierre lost to Matt Serra, live on the air. I said, George, this is the best thing that will ever happen to you. And he's like, what? I said, this is the best thing that will ever happen to you. You see it. And they actually used it in the countdown show. And then George said something else afterwards that Matt Serra got upset about. And it just, you know, they sold off at UFC 83 very well. But at the same time, one of the media members from Quebec, I don't know what station it was from, at the post-fight press conference that I was able to watch, kind of gave a hint that that many people outside of Canada don't know. Quebec is a different province, obviously, but it's almost a different world. They love their own. Look at the boxing world, how they support their own. They support GSP. They love their Cote. They're looking for their next GSP. And Olivier Aubin-Mercier is their next GSP. May not be Canada's next GSP. That could be Elias. That could be Sheldon. That could be Jesse Ronson. That could be Sam Stowe. Who knows? But the next GSP coming out of Quebec is going to be Olivier Aubin-Mercier, in my opinion. They want and they will support him. And we got a little glimpse of it last night.
Yeah, he absolutely got that star reaction when he walked out. And I'm sure if it was up to them, they'd probably love to have him on every single card that's in the province of Quebec. So we'll see what happens from there.
Well, we just got the two-minute call from Brett, so I'm in big trouble, because this Saturday on Sportsnet 360, 5 straight hours of UFC action from Orlando, Florida. Mike and I are probably going to go online after, because today's press conference for the event in Orlando, Florida, the media day, basically, the press conference.
It was a press conference, yeah.
Was at Shaquille O'Neal's house. How ridiculous is that? Shaquille is the man. That's all I'm saying. But this card is going to be absolutely ridiculous. Like I said, 5 straight hours. And the main event will feature the next man to take on the heavyweight champion of the world, Cain Velasquez, as Fabricio Werdum will take on Travis Brown. Women's bantamweight contender belt, Misha Tate, will take on Liz Carmouche in the co-main event. Donald the Cowboy Cerrone and Edson Barboza will fight in a lightweight battle that will be the striking fight of the year, in my opinion. And opening up that main card, Brad Tavares taking on Yoel Romero. That's going to be explosive. The preliminary card is also going to be on Sportsnet and features all kinds of crazy guys. It'll be kicked off by Jordan Mean taking on Hermione Perpetua. This is nuts. This is a pay-per-view card that is going to be free, Mike, on Sportsnet 360. What fights you like there?
Oh, man. It's hard. I mean, it'd be easier to say what fight I don't like, but for me, I'm a huge Khabib Nurmagomedov guy.
Oh,
and
boy.
I absolutely cannot wait for that fight against Rafael Dos Anjos. It's going to be only the second time in UFC history a non-title fight where two guys are putting 5-fight winning streaks on the line. So, big, big card, big night.
I'm going Travis Brown. I think he has the edge over Fabricio Werdum. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm picking Brown, too.
The winner will fight Cain Velasquez in Mexico City. Sportsnet, my bags are packed. I'm ready to go to Mexico. Thank you to the boys behind the glass. Mike, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, always.
Thank you to Chad Lapriest and Elias Theodoro. Elias Theodoro, you've been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.